I encourage you, please, to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We have been, for the past month or two, doing a series with the word afterward or afterwards as we find them in the Scripture. And the one that I want to share with you tonight is the afterward of a smitten conscience. The afterward of a smitten conscience. And I want us to read the first eight verses of 1 Samuel chapter 24. And I'm just going to share a few thoughts in the 15 minutes that we have remaining together from this passage of Scripture. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with those words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward, twice we have this word used in this passage, and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray, dear Father, that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, there are many times that we say things or do things, and then we are stung by conscience afterwards. Sometimes we may say to ourselves, it's no big deal, but many times we could have handled things differently. We could have done something else that would have been more proper, and we have learned afterward what we should have done. Pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think with me for just a moment. Here is David out in the wilderness. He and his men are hiding in a cave, and in walks the man who is seeking David's life. The men in the cave are almost giddy. We've got him now. Whispering over to David, you've got him right where you want him. He's by himself. Do what you will, David. Kill him. And so David, instead of killing him, goes over there, and Saul has removed his outer garment, and he takes his knife and he peels away a portion of it and then steps back to the wall of the cave. The men, I'm sure, were whispering among themselves, why didn't he kill him? And he whispers to his men, he said, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Because this is the Lord's anointed. He was made king by God. And what am I to be judge and jury over this man, even though he's seeking our lives and my life specifically? Why should I do anything? Now, if there was ever a reason that a human being could come up with to destroy another man, it was this one right here. Saul was trying to kill David. And here was the perfect opportunity to get even. Now, many perfect opportunities come in life, don't they? Boy, I've got him right where I want him. You ever said that? Maybe it's some conflict you're having and you finally get them where you want them and you're ready to just pounce on the situation. Have you ever had the sting of conscience that just came over you and said, What am I doing? Now, we can always justify our actions because we have different rules for ourselves, right? We have rules for other people and then we have rules for ourselves. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? No. Here was David. His men are cheering him on. All right, let's get him. Let's kill him. Let's end all this. Remember, it went on for 11 years, this being chased by Saul. This wasn't something that just happened. It was a short-term deal. This had been going on for 11 years. But something interestingly happens in this particular situation when David refrains himself. He doesn't kill him. He runs after Saul leaves. He runs out and calls out to him. Saul, I'm sure, had a moment to look at his garment and saw the rip or the cut with a sword or a knife. And he realizes that he was just in the cave with the man he was trying to kill, and that man didn't take his life. Now, you talk about a wake-up call. You talk about a wake-up call. And we find out in this passage of Scripture, verse 16, "And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept, and he said unto David, Thou art more righteous than I." Now think about that. Thou art more righteous. There was the sting of conscience that came over Saul for the first time in 11 years. And it was made possible because a man of God thought afterward. He thought afterward. He said, you know what? This isn't right. I have no right to take his life. God put him on the throne. God will take him off the throne. And by the way, who took Saul off the throne? God did. God did in his own way. Oh, there was a lot of controversy on it. There was the threat of the armor bearer. Saul said, take thy sword and thrust it into me. Then we were told that Saul fell on his own sword because the sword bearer wouldn't do it. You think about the whole account of that and how God brought it about that David could clearly be ushered in to the throne without any kind of scandal, that David had sought to kill him and destroy him and became king. You see how God worked it out? Do I hear an amen? God worked that whole situation out. If David had stepped up and used his reason, this man's trying to kill him, I'm going to take him out. He would have been justified by 600 men gathered with him in that cave. But he wouldn't have been justified by God. And God had a plan. And God unfolded that plan. And God made it clear that David was to be the next ruler. Oh, there was conflict, there was struggle that went on for some time. I've got some thoughts here that I want to leave you with tonight. Because of David's actions of conscience, Saul confessed that David had acted righteously. More righteous than he. The sting of conscience came to Saul as a result of David's actions. Three principles. Number one, always act on principle. When you start acting on feelings, when you start acting on emotions of the moment, invariably you will get the wrong outcome and you'll make the wrong decision. You ever bought a car on emotions? Boy, I tell you, you look at a vehicle and say, boy, that's it! That's my car! That's the one I'm going to have! And then you get it. I had to have a 96 Ford Windstar van because our family needed a van. I got one, all right. I called it the clunker. Every time you put on the brake, clunk, clunk. Every time you gave it the gas, clunk, clunk. And I drove that thing for about a year and a half, and I said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. And I traded it, and I bought a Suburban instead, a Chevy product. I'm not going to get into the Ford Chevy thing because we only have 5 minutes left. It would take all night to be able to expose all of the problems with Ford, right, Brother Watt? If I'd have had a Ranger, it would have done that, right? Anyway, I called it the clunker. Now, it had low mileage, and it was a beautiful-looking van. But I took it back to the Ford dealership 3 times. I said, you got to find out what's wrong with this thing. I can't take this clunking. There's something wrong with the front end. Well, we don't know what it is, Mr. Brainerd. You love those kind of responses, right? Take it in 3 times. We don't know what's wrong with it. And so I just said, I'm selling it. So I sold it, and I bought a Suburban instead, and the clunking went away. I had to have a van. I had to have one. But you know, sometimes you get what you want. Be careful that you don't act on emotions. Act on principle every time. biblical principle. Number two, don't violate your conscience to get even with somebody. Did you hear me? Don't violate your conscience to get even with somebody. First of all, that's the wrong motive, to get even with somebody. That's not your business. Whose business is that? The Lord said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So when you get into that business, you're taking over God's work. Don't ever violate your conscience. And that's what was happening. He was being pressured by the mob mentality. Hey, this is our opportunity. Kill him! Kill him! Kill him! You can almost hear them shouting it in their brains. Take him out, David. We're right behind you. And David said, no. And went over there and cut his garment. And that action in itself was enough to trigger in David's heart. It was a wrong action. God put this man on the throne and God will take him off. My job is just to be faithful. I don't know why he's chasing me down. I don't know why he hates me so. I don't know why he wants to kill me. But I'm not going to go down his road. I'm going to stay on God's road. Do I hear another amen? Kind of quiet out there. Yeah. Don't violate conscience to get even with somebody. It's not worth it. What's better is to do right. To do right by the situation. And number three, this is the last one. Always consider the long-term result instead of the short-term. Do you realize that the short-term may be very different from the long-term? What did the long-term play out for David? He was made king of Israel. By right of kings, by right of kindred, Jonathan should have been the next leader, but that wasn't God's leader. God had said, I've chosen David to be the next king. How's that going to all play out? David needs to take the initiative. David needs to take the initiative and kill Saul and become the next king, right? That wasn't God's way. If he'd have done it his way, it would have been a wrong way, and there would always have been a shadow of doubt about the kingship of David. But he did it God's way. And God worked it all out where he was made the monarch of Israel. And he took over the two small tribes to start with, and all the rest of the 10 came on later, and he had the whole nation under his power. God worked all that out. Be careful. Now listen to me, young people, children. Be careful. Always think about the long-term results of your decisions instead of the short-term. Short-term may bring quick relief. Isn't that wonderful? Quick relief. But don't you want long-term relief? I think we want to have God's best. And so be careful about that. The afterword of a smitten conscience. I hope that we'll take to heart this message from 1 Samuel chapter 24. Twice the word afterward is used. And it was a smitten conscience that kept him from doing something that would have ruined his kingship. Would have ruined being a helper to Israel. He would have turned out to be another Saul. But instead, he turned out to be a King David. And the Lord, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, says, of thy kingdom, David, I will make no end. Yeah. It's a blessing when you do it God's way. Now, he did several things that weren't God's way, and he paid a terrible price, did he not? He didn't raise his boys like he ought to. And as a result, Adonijah, which David had never pained him by saying, why are you doing what you're doing? In other words, getting on his case. Oh, it cost him dearly. He lost just about every one of his kids. No, he had his sins. But in this situation, it helped him to have a successful kingship and transition to the throne that God had for him. Because he didn't go against his conscience. It had been trained well by his parents, by those that he had been exposed to. And I thank the Lord that we have that testimony in God's Word. May God help us to be careful with our conscience. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time of prayer that we've had tonight. Pray for the students of Santa Rosa Christian School and Santa Rosa Christian Learning Center. Lord, we're very concerned for the spiritual well-being of every one of our students, where they're going to spend eternity, what they're going to be for God, for Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd work in every life. Some of them we won't have after this year. Some of them will not return. Lord, I pray that the seed has been planted and that we'll hear a fruit that remains. And I pray, Lord, that You would take the message that we've just shared from Your Word. Lord, it's so easy to let the moment dictate our actions. How foolish. We need to allow Your principles, Your Word, to dictate our actions. Help us, Lord, to be careful that we not see things through the eyes of the flesh, but see things through the eyes of Scripture. And may it keep us from doing things that would be harmful to our Christian lives. We pray now Your blessings also on the Vipans. We thank You, Father, for answers to prayer regarding a safe trip over and back. We pray for the work there in Central Asia. We know, Lord, that there are many Christians that are suffering persecution because of their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that You'll put a shield of protection about them, that they'll be able to continue on and be able to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that You work in the Vipans as they prepare themselves to go. Pray that You defeat the devil and that You would work in their hearts and lives to prepare them for the ministry that You have for them. And we ask all of these things in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and good night.